Hi there. Welcome to This Must Be the Place, hosted by Imogen J. Lister. That's me, your host. Here we're talking love songs, we're talking music, we're talking memories, and everything in between. I am so excited for today. We are talking to Bradley Pearson, who goes by Don Rivers in the musical scene in Toronto. Some really beautiful ballads, sort of folky influence. But I'll let him introduce himself to you guys.
Hi, I'm Don River. It's just River. No S.
So sorry. Yeah. I guess I got that wrong.
I'm just a musician hanging out here in Toronto, playing some tunes, play some guitar stuff, some piano stuff, sometimes with a band, sometimes by myself. And I just released a song not too long ago, Will People. That's pretty much me.
You also do a lot of like video stuff, work with different musicians.
I do some video stuff, try to do it on film, but mostly digital.
Yeah, you're an analog artist, I guess.
Yeah. I also have a cassette deck at home that I intended to record an album on and never really figured out how to use it properly, and it was kind of scary. Too much commitment involved in using tape to record.
Would it like get a different feel, I guess?
I don't know if I have that kind of ear. I just was doing it because I guess I'm a hipster asshole and just wanted to record something on tape.
That's so real. I feel like that's so much of what the aesthetic of the podcast is. It's just like physical media and analog media, because I also really like it. So it works. Yeah, what are you drinking today, Bradley? I asked everyone what their favorite drinks are.
I'm drinking half a White Claw that we're sharing because I didn't answer the question of what my favorite drink was on the intake form.
That's so real. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's all right.
Flavor. Black cherry.
Yeah.
Could be better.
Yeah, that's okay.
What would you rather have?
Probably beer.
Real.
But I guess I could have asked for that. That was on me.
I could have pressed for it as well, but whatever. We have White Claws, and that's good. That's good. So as I mentioned, here on This Must Be the Place, we're talking about love songs, memories, everything in between. So you came with your three favorite love songs.
I did.
We can listen to the first one. Anything you want to say beforehand?
I was probably, if they were actually my three favorite, I probably would have picked all ones from like the 70s. But I thought I needed to pick something a little more contemporary, so one of them is an Andy Schoaf song.
That's A-okay. Yeah, it's nice to have like a range and like ones that you can talk about and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, all the 70s is also a vibe. But
yeah, I know. But I mean, did you see my jacket?
Yeah. The squeaky leather jacket.
The squeaky jacket.
Solid. Okay, so first song we're listening to is Cigarettes and Coffee by Otis Redding.
That's right.
Yeah. We've chatted briefly about this song, but I'm excited to hear more of your thoughts.
Yeah. I think I showed you the song like the first time we hung out.
Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah.
It's just so funny.
Because you mentioned this podcast, and this was the first song I immediately thought of when you brought up love songs.
So it had to be on here.
It had to be on here.
Okay. We'll take a listen.
Fade out.
It's such a good choice. I feel like there's so much like yearning in that song. Like there's like an underlying sadness to it.
That's just all Otis Redding.
Is it?
I think so. I don't know. I just think it's his voice. Him and Al Green. I find nobody sings like them anymore and nobody records like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And just the combination. I don't know. I don't think I've ever heard anything like him since.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I was around at that time. I'm not that old.
Yeah, I feel like it is really dramatic. Like it is really like there's so much emotion coming through there.
Exactly. I really like that in kind of just like how simple it is, what he's singing about, because I kind of think it's love is the best thing ever, cigarettes are the best thing ever, and coffee is the best thing ever. And I kind of feel like that's, you know, it's so easy to understand love when you just think about having a cigarette with coffee.
That's so true. Oh, hi, Sophia. Yeah,
there's a dog here. Hi.
There's a dog here. That's so interesting. What's this comment on cigarettes and coffee being the best thing ever?
What's that comment?
Yeah. Tell me more about that.
Do you disagree?
You're kind of right for that.
This dog. Hi, Sophia. I feel like that was maybe earlier when I feel like people singing about cigarettes and coffees in songs mm-hmm. was like not so overdone. Mm-hmm. So I accept it a lot more.
Yeah.
And really appreciate it.
Yeah.
But now I feel like that's in like every song I've ever heard ever.
That's true.
People especially sing about cigarettes and coffee.
Yeah.
Together too.
Together too.
But yeah. I think that speaks to why it's the best thing ever.
It's so relevant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I also think it's interesting to like compare someone that you love to those two things, because like they're very addictive things to have. So I feel like having like comparing someone that you love, it's like I feel like there's more to this relationship, especially with like the level of yearning in this song.
I think it just sounds like he wants to ultimately, it's the simple things, mm-hmm. love, and just being with somebody, mm-hmm. doing something so simple and kind of mundane. Mm-hmm. I really like mundanity in songwriting.
Yeah.
And I noticed a lot of music from this era. It's like the words are so, so simple. And a lot of it is just like the yearning in the voice. That's what I like about it. And that's maybe why this is my favorite love
song. It takes it right down to the basics, strips it down.
Yeah.
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 In your own music, do you like tend to write about the mundane?
I do. I really like writing about really mundane things. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of like some example of something and I'm blanking on all my own lyrics.
Laughing. I don't know. That's one song. I know you don't like that one that much.
Yeah. Oh, I guess I was thinking in the last song I released, Wool People, I have like a line my dad used to make me, or he did it one time and I remembered it a lot. And we were at my grandma's house and he was taking the smoke detector out and checking it because the battery was dead, and then he was like, you can check a 9-volt battery like by sticking the electrodes to your tongue, and like you can tell like if it zaps you only a little, it's dead. And then I did it, and then I wrote that into the line of the song, that I used to lick a 9-volt and did it just for the spark on my tongue. So I thought that was pretty mundane.
Mm-hmm. Small stories, small things.
Small little things.
Mm-hmm. Do you like associate this Otis Redding song with like anything specific? Or is it just like it just like sums up the feelings of love for you?
That's kind of it, yeah. I don't know. I don't know when I would have first heard it. Probably a long time ago. I always like to listen to old music. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know when I would have heard it, but I have the record that this is off of. I think I have this one and the greatest hits that it's on as well. Mm-hmm. And I've just like always really liked Otis Redding. Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. It's a really beautiful song, especially with his voice. It's really incredible.
Yeah.
I'm interested to hear the next one. I've seen Andy Schaaf live.
Yeah.
With Poppy.
Wow. Where'd you see him?
Ottawa.
Ottawa.
Yeah.
Why there?
I feel like it was a group effort of not looking at where he was playing and deciding that going to Ottawa would be fun. And
the sleepy capital. How was it?
It was beautiful. The setup of the stage was incredible. He had like his whole band, what was it, like 9 people or something, set up in like a semicircle around him, with the drummer at the front, which was interesting. And the drummer was incredible to watch because he was like really grooving. He was like really getting into it. And then he had this tiny, tiny little cymbal. He just goes ding. And it was like every time he saw it, it was like mind blown. Great. And then he just had like a box of like different things that he just kept on pulling out. But also the like setup of the stage with him in the middle, a lot of the lighting was done through like vines. So he looked kind of like his face was kind of distorted by the lighting because the vines were all over it.
Viney guy.
Yeah, exactly. Like kind of giving that like stalker-esque vibe from Poppy, help me, what's the album?
Norm.
The kind of stalker-esque story and concept of Norm.
Damn.
Really cool. Really cool energy. Yeah. So I'm excited to listen to this one because I haven't actually listened to that much by him. So
no,
I'm curious.
I have this album. A friend got it for me, mm-hmm. like a couple years ago for my birthday. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hell yeah.
So you're a big fan.
I am a fan.
You're a fan, yeah.
I just particularly like this song and this album. I actually really like that new album too, Norm.
Yeah.
It is really good, but I don't know why I really like it. I liked his music videos on this album also. Mm-hmm. And that was like something that maybe why I listened to it so much, but I do really like it. It's really mellow. I'm a mellow guy, so.
Very chill.
Yeah.
Very laid back.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the way to be. Yeah. Okay. Let's do it. This is Quite Like You by Andy Schaaf. That was so much more groovier than I was expecting when he said it was chill.
Groovier?
Yeah. Like, I've heard the song before.
It's so, like, sparse instrument-wise. I really like that.
Yeah.
But it's got... Yeah, because it does have like a nice little groove.
Like it's a little dancey in a way. It's a little groovy. Yeah.
A little groovy.
I also like when he says like, no one else like you, like it really hits. I don't know what about it, but it really,
yeah, it's it like, does. Oh my God. It's so loaded, I guess. I don't know. I really like how I'm like interpreting the song in like a way where you're just like, kind of like I could be better for you, kind of like drunkenly and almost seeming like impulsively, even though like it's your friend and your friend's partner, and it was just, I don't know, it's just really well written. Mm-hmm. I find like I really like how he just seems to like be like, I could just be so much better, and like is drunk enough to be like, I'm gonna get you, no problem, and then love how abruptly he's like cut off at the end. It was just like, oh, I misread that entirely.
Is it a relatable situation?
No, but I'm such a good guy.
Yeah, never end up like that.
I'd never do something like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was just, yeah, I thought this would be a fun direction to go in terms of like a love song.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's like unrequited and probably not even real.
That's just so
like
interesting.
You're drunk and being like, oh yeah, you're pretty cool and pretty hot, and like you had one fight, now I can slip in there and take you for myself, maybe just for like a second, but this doesn't seem real.
Just like the fantasy of it all.
Yeah. Like it would just be like, it's almost just like a dream or like a bad thought that's just getting like cut off. That's like, thank God it did.
That's so good. Like, does this character, like, is this like one character then that fits into the concept album? Do you know much about the characters of the album?
I actually don't really know so much about like the characters of the album.
I don't remember much. Yeah. I just remember like,
I've heard the story of it, but too many people write songs about too many things, and I can only keep so much in my brain, so I'm pretty much stuck on like this one and the magician from this album.
The magician's also beautiful.
Yeah,
this is so fun.
I'm not gonna do the single.
Yeah,
what am I, a chump?
A basic Andy Schaaf fan.
Yeah, a basic guy.
yeah, I feel like that idea of like love not being real is not quite like explicitly explored. Like it, like I don't know, like I feel like this one it pretty much tells you, but like a lot of these kind of situations of kind of a fantastical love are, you have to like read between the lines on it, but this one's like,
yeah
this one's like
totally,
this is not
like, this
real.
Is not the thing, but don't don't go for that.
Yeah, it kind of like takes, I don't know, it's kind of like an interesting choice for a love song for that reason.
Yeah,
it's just like, yeah,
just kind of wild, right? That way.
Oh. Yeah. Keep us on our toes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like, yeah, I don't know if I can name another song that's so, this is not real. Can definitely name some, like, breakup songs that are like that, but not, but not one that's, like, explicitly, like, a love song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can't either.
Yeah.
But I can't remember what I ate for lunch, so.
Exactly. Who knows? Yeah, it is just, like, a really fun, like, lighthearted tune, though, at the same time.
Yeah.
While dealing with, like, these kind of deeper contexts.
Yeah, just, like, you could just listen to it for the music and the melody and not even really listen to the words. It's still good.
I'm not gonna lie, I caught myself getting just pulled into how groovy it was and not really thinking about how I need to pay attention to it.
It's a really well-made record.
Mm-hmm. Really beautifully done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen Andy Schaaf live?
I haven't.
No.
No.
I'm surprised.
I don't know what he was in town like not too long ago. Yeah. I knew friends who went. I don't know why I didn't go.
I think like last year, was it?
Yeah.
Andy Schaaf as well is like a great pick because Canadian artist. And
yeah.
We're here in Toronto, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was also one of my thoughts was I should pick a Canadian.
Yeah.
Pick two Americans.
Support our local
yeah.
Canadian music.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the biggest person you've seen in the city?
Like I've seen play or just seen around?
Like just on the street.
Just on the street? I don't know. Maddie from the Bourne Ruffians. Is gonna be on the podcast, hopefully. I don't think anyone that big. I saw the guy, this one guy from Degrassi at a coffee shop once.
Oh, Degrassi.
But I don't know if that counts as being particularly big either.
There's a diner on Bathurst that I really like called Koss. And there's like an arena kind of behind it where like all those like 90s, like Tragically Hip and Blue Rodeo would play mm-hmm. hockey at. And I guess he still goes there and plays hockey with the kids there. But the guy from Blue Rodeo, Jim Cuddy, was outside the diner. And at the time, I did kind of like Blue Rodeo. And then I went out to him, I was like, oh, hey, Jim Cuddy. I was like, I'm a big fan. And then he looked at me and said, oh, you are big. I was like, okay, thank you.
Just that's a great response.
That's fine, I
very
guess.
Candid there. Yeah.
Whatever.
Is he the biggest person you've seen in Toronto then? The most famous?
That I spoke suppose? To or said something to.
Because
He was just standing there.
He was just vibing. Yeah.
He owed it to me.
Yeah. Just go say hi.
Yeah.
Just see what's up. Didn't ask for a picture or anything crazy.
No. Then he called me big. He's taller than him though.
That's affirming.
So
that's,
take that, Jim.
Exactly. I'm trying to think of if there's anyone bigger, but I can't think. I know where Feist lives.
Oh.
But I haven't seen her. I could just stalk her.
I feel like 1, 2, 3, 4 would be a scary home invasion song. To be blasted. I don't know.
In what way?
That's what you do. I don't know. If you're like being home invaded and that song was playing kind of in the background.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I hear it being very eerie and spooky.
That's so real. Horror movie scene right there.
I guess I imagined that you were going to break into her house because you knew where she lived.
I'm not that much of a stalker, I swear. I just know where we think she lives. Suspected of living.
Gotcha.
I'm not going to tell anybody. Just in case.
No doxing.
No doxing here.
Okay, good.
Yeah. My friend ran into Haim on the street, which was kind of cool.
That's fun.
But that wasn't me.
That wasn't you.
That wasn't me. Yeah. Maybe I just don't go out enough.
You just got to go to find a random place that someone just is. I knew some people who saw Phoebe Bridgers. At
really?
Communist Daughter with Bo Burnham. They were just there.
Like recently?
When they were like with the Boy Genius summer.
Mm.
When was that? That was
2023.
Oh my God.
I remember it so fondly.
Jeez.
I miss Boy Genius summer. I didn't know they've been dating since then.
That was somebody had like a picture I saw. Like it was Bo Burnham and Phoebe Bridgers and them.
That's
outside
crazy.
Of Communist Daughter.
That's so funny. Is there anything else you want to comment on Andy Schaaf or the song?
I think that about covers it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a simple, sweet little melody. And I think that's what his songs do really, really well, to be honest. Going back a little bit on the conversation, is that like they seem really simple and like you said, like musically stripped back, but then like the lyrics kind of are like building a whole world.
And then the production is very thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it is so simple, but that's kind of when it's the most thoughtful.
I agree.
Keep it that simple.
I feel like that's like one of my things with seeing, especially like local music, is like when they just have too much going on and you're like, chill, just keep it low key.
Yeah.
And it like makes such a difference.
Or go the complete opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
When I watched my friend play in like a 20-person band.
Oh my God.
I was like, that was so cool. But mostly because they had like an orchestra, essentially. Like,
that's very cool.
At the front.
That is very
cool. So that's fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Yeah, I guess I shot for a jazz band, and like, yeah, it was like 10 people on stage, and you're like, whoa, there's so much going on, and it's so much fun. It's so much fun.
Jazz. Yeah. That's my thought on that.
But yeah, okay, if you feel like you've said what you need to.
I've said my piece.
Andy Chow. Yeah. Okay, we can move on to song number 3. Okay, headphones on. This third and last song that Bradley has chosen, sorry, Dawn River has chosen, is one of my personal favorites. Bless the Telephone by Labi Seif.
I always say Seifrey.
Seifrey?
I've never heard them say their own name. But
I have no idea. I've never looked it up. I always
say Seifrey, but...
Yeah, this song is... I feel like it's such like a genuine feeling of love. Anyways, I'll talk about it afterwards. We can listen to it. Here we go. This is like the purest form of a love song.
Yeah.
Like, this is like everything that you expect, and it's just like sweet. And I feel like it's also like commenting on like the singer-songwriter experience, because it's like, you know, like this is my job, and it's just so lovely and light and sweet. And I really like this song.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it kind of took on a... I started like twisting the meaning of it in my head, like of what he was saying. I feel like during the pandemic, like during like lockdown times, in where like I'd be home and doing music things, and we were like in a smaller place, me and my partner, and they were working from home, or even like just, I don't know, it would just be like we'd be like chatting or like doing something. And then all of a sudden, like, they'd be like, oh, God, I have a meeting. And then just, like, run upstairs and do that. And I was like, that's the phone call taking them away, even though that's so not what it means. And so I started, like, rewriting, like, the meaning for the lyrics in my head rather than, like, God bless the telephone being something, like, sarcastic to me. Being like, oh, God bless the telephone. Like, great. You get to communicate with your colleagues, and I... don't work an office job, but you do. Yeah.
That's so sweet. Was it like kind of a lonely time then? Or do you think,
no? Not exactly. I just remembered like that would just, that happens. Like, I mean, they still work from home and it still happens like so much, or like you'll be talking and then they'll just be like, oh, I gotta go. Like, I have a meeting. I gotta go do this meeting. And then, yeah, I don't know. It's always just like, I don't know why. You're just like, yeah, you have to go take that meeting. But for some reason, it's one of those things where you're just like,
like, you're like, how dare this interrupt? Yeah.
Or if we're talking about something like serious, and then it's like, oh, I have to go to a meeting like now, like I have to go. And then it's like, God damn, we work different kinds of jobs.
The mood has shifted a little bit. Yeah.
And so it's just kind of, yeah. So that's kind of why I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
So I was like thinking about the lyrics of the song, just kind of like in a way that applies directly to me, even though it is like such a universal kind of song. And I'm sure lots of songwriters have that kind of situation, just like, this is what I do and that's what you do, and I feel like you have a real job. I don't.
I'm just hanging out.
Yeah. From where I'm sitting, I'm just hanging out.
Yeah. I think that that's really special that you have, like, your own meaning to it.
Yeah.
For, like, a unique relationship.
I guess I feel like I knew the song for years, and then I don't know why it kind of popped back up into my brain. I just like, it just came on something one day. I'm not really sure where I heard it or if I heard it in something, and I was like, I remember this song, and then... Yeah.
This was a recent discovery for me, but I don't know where I found it or why.
I've been hearing it getting played a lot more lately, like just in like a bar or like something, or I was over at my friend's house like a couple weeks ago and it was on like a playlist he made, and I was like, oh, I love this song.
Re-emerging into the collective consciousness.
I don't know why it had such a resurgence.
Yeah. I have it on a playlist about like having a crush and what having a crush feels like to me, because I feel like this song, I feel like you know, the idea of like someone texting you or giving, thinking of you or giving you a call is like such like a fluttery heart moment.
Hmm.
Yeah. Where it's like, this is so exciting. So yeah. But your take is very interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know my take is wrong, but it's right for me.
I don't know if there's a definitive right or wrong.
Yeah. Art's objective, you know? That's the
the best part about this.
No.
You could choose a love song that is not even remotely a love song, but if you feel like it is, then that works.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, it's just so simple. It's, like, the same way how you're saying about Andy Schaaf, like, Stripped Back. It's very simple, and it's very sweet.
Yeah.
Because of that, it makes it such a classic.
Just someone in their guitar.
Exactly.
And it works. And if you can do that, you're probably the best in the world.
Yeah, that's all you can. That's all you need to do.
Yeah, in my opinion.
Can you play this song?
Play that song on guitar?
Yeah.
I've never tried to learn it.
I'm just curious.
It'd be a good cover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be a good like solo cover.
It would be.
Yeah.
It'd actually be a very good solo cover.
Yeah. We're thinking ahead.
And it's coming back for some reason in a way that's not super obvious to me. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where I heard it recently, but...
It's not like people, when everybody was covering Running Up That Hill
exactly.
for like a year. And I was like, oh, Stranger Things.
Yeah, we knew exactly where it was coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any other comments on this song or anything?
No, that was kind of my big reveal was... Mm-hmm. How it applied directly to me.
How the meaning of the song is completely obsolete.
This song is about me.
Yeah. It was written just for you, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming on.
No problem.
Yeah. This has been fun. For anybody listening, this is the first recording of This Must Be the Place after a long 2-year hiatus. It's been a good time chatting with you, Bradley.
Oh, I had a good time chatting too.
Yeah.
I feel like I said no problem in such a... Yeah, you're welcome. I very much appreciate it. Thank you, Imogen.
I'll accept attitude from you and you only. But yeah, that brings us to the end. Thank you for listening. This has been This Must Be the Place with Imogen J. Lister. Be sure to like, subscribe, comment, give us your criticisms, give us your love. Give us any thoughts. We're sending you guys lots of love. Be sure to follow on Instagram for more content based around the podcast. We're posting previews of the guests. We'll be posting snippets of interviews and lots of content to come. That will be on This Must Be the Place Pod on Instagram. Be sure to follow and like, subscribe, all of the above. Appreciate you and have a good day. Take care.